The Beatles. Among Jobs' prize CDs was a bootleg that contained a dozen or so taped sessions of the Beatles revising Strawberry Fields Forever. It became the musical score to his philosophy of how to perfect a product. Andy Hertzfeld had found the CD and made a copy of it for Jobs in 1986, though Jobs sometimes told folks that it had come from Yoko Ono. Sitting in the living room of his Palo Alto home one day, Jobs rummaged around in some glass-enclosed bookcases to find it, then put it on while describing what it had taught him. "It's a complex song, and it's fascinating to watch the creative process as they went back and forth and finally created it over a few months. Lennon was always my favorite Beatle." He laughs as Lennon stops during the first take and makes the band go back and revise a chord. "Did you hear that little detour they took? It didn't work, so they went back and started from where they were. It's so raw in this version. It actually makes them sound like mere mortals. You could actually imagine other people doing this up to this version. Maybe not writing and conceiving it, but certainly playing it. Yet they just didn't stop. They were such perfectionists, they kept it going and going. This made a big impression on me when I was in my 30s. You could just tell how much they worked at this. They did a bundle of work between each of these recordings. They kept sending it back to make it closer to perfect." As he listens to the third take, he points out how the instrumentation has gotten more complex. "The way we build stuff at Apple is often this way. Even the number of models we'd make of a new notebook or iPod. We would start off with a version and then begin refining and refining, doing detailed models of the design or the buttons or how a function operates. It's a lot of work, but in the end it just gets better, and soon it's like, wow, how did they do that? Where are the screws?" It was thus understandable that Jobs was driven to distraction by the fact that the Beatles were not on iTunes. His struggle with Apple Corps, the Beatles' business holding company, stretched more than 3 decades, causing far too many journalists to use the phrase "long and winding road" in stories about the relationship. It began in 1978 when Apple Computers, soon after its launch, was sued by Apple Corps for trademark infringement based on the fact that the Beatles' former recording label was called Apple. The suit was settled 3 years later when Apple Computers paid Apple Corps $80,000. The settlement had what seemed back then an innocuous stipulation. The Beatles would not produce any computer equipment, and Apple would not market any music products. The Beatles kept their end of the bargain. None of them ever produced any computers, but Apple ended up wandering into the music business. It got sued again in 1991 when the Mac incorporated the ability to play musical files, then again in 2003 when the iTunes Store was launched. The legal issues were finally resolved in 2007 when Apple made a deal to pay Apple Corps $500 million for all worldwide rights to the name, and then licensed back to the Beatles the right to use Apple Corps for their record and business holdings. Alas, this did not resolve the issue of getting the Beatles onto iTunes. For that to happen, the Beatles and EMI Music, which held the rights to most of their songs, had to negotiate their own differences over how to handle the digital rights. "The Beatles all want to be on iTunes," Jobs later recalled, "but they and EMI are like an old married couple. They hate each other but can't get divorced. The fact that my favorite band was the last holdout from iTunes was something I very much hoped I would live to resolve." As it turned out, he would.